I know. Well, okay. So this morning is September 30th, 2003, and we're going to do lesson number 265, knees crossed and sliding the feet sideways. But there's more to it than that. So begin by taking a moment to observe how you're lying on your back this morning, how you're making contact with the floor. Bring your attention up to your shoulder blade area and notice how is each shoulder blade resting on the floor this morning. Sense your spine in between your shoulder blades and the contact that your spine is making. Continue down to your lower back and your pelvis. How are your legs lying on the floor? And then how do your arms lie along your side? I know in other lessons I've brought your awareness and attention to your arms lying along your side as to whether or not the palms rest down or your palms slightly turn to your side, or do you prefer with your palms up? And there's not a right way, it's just a question of how do you feel most comfortable with the organization inside the shoulder joint, with your shoulder blades and your spine. Now bend your knees and bring your feet to standing. And just review or recall from last week some of the movements we did with the pelvis, of tilting the pelvis, what we call towards 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock. Hopefully at this point, this movement is very, very familiar. It should be a movement that you can call upon at any time if you're having any kind of discomfort in your pelvis or low back, and do on your own at home. And as always, go very, very slowly between 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So 12 o'clock, that's it, Laura, is flattening the lower back. And then you just roll through the spine, the sacrum, down to the tailbone to arch the lower back. And then return to neutral for a moment. And now let's see if you can visit 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock, which would be directly coming over to the right, crossing through the center, and then going over to the left side of your pelvis. And just observe if it feels easier, perhaps more familiar, to go to one side than the other. And as one side, as you roll to one side, notice the other side needs to lift up. And in the lifting of that side of the pelvis, do you also begin to experience an arch in the lower back as well? Good. Come back to the center. And now begin to go through the clock. So take yourself up to 12, over to 3, down to 6, back up to 9, and then back to 12. seeing if you can travel exactly along the clock, going to each number along the clock, which numbers perhaps maybe give you a little trouble or there's a sense of avoidance going to that area, which numbers feel very pleasurable and nice to visit. And somewhere along the movement of the clock, can you pause and reverse the clock? So you're going counterclockwise now. And again, notice for yourself, for some people, they prefer the counterclockwise direction. And bring it to a rest, a pause, straighten your legs and rest on your back. Bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing. And then this time, you're going to lengthen your arms above your head, above yourself on the floor. And then interlace your hands. That's it. So once you interlace your hands, the palms will be facing the top of your head, yeah? So it's almost like you're making a giant circle above your head. Good. And in this position, begin to tilt your pelvis now towards 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And just observe as you tilt the pelvis and initiate the movement of the pelvis, what happens through your entire spine, up to your head and your neck, and what movement continues through your arms. Is there a sense that they lengthen above you on the floor? Not because you pull them, but because of the movement of the pelvis and the spine. And then you also feel them pull back down. Good. Now pause for a moment so that your pelvis now remains quiet. And begin to do a movement of you're going to lift both your head and your arms. It's not a very large movement. You just lift them enough that they come away from the floor and go back down. And how is this possible? What happens with your rib cage, with your chest, with the abdominal muscles? Yeah, just like that. So the head and the arms lift. But see, when the arms are above you like this, right, you can't lift the head and flex it, so to speak, to look in between the knees, because the arms are lifting the rib cage to do something else. So it's a smaller lift, right? That's it. So you just lift and lower. Good. Now, keep your head on the floor and just begin to lift the arms and feel what happens in your back, in the shoulder blades. Lift and lower. Good. And now let the arms rest up there for a moment and just lift your head. So again, it's a small lift. You just lift it enough so that you know you're lifting it and lower it back down. What do you notice in between the shoulder blades, in your thoracic spine? Good. Okay. And take a moment to lower your arms down, lengthen your legs, and rest. Bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing. Once again, bring your arms above your head, interlace your hands, and now cross your right knee over your left. And you're crossing right at the knee. That's it, not the ankle, but at the knee. This is often how we sit at a table, right? Crossing the legs. And in this position, begin slowly to tilt your legs over to the right. And just go again slowly and only as far as it's really comfortable. So there's no hurry. There's no importance for the legs to come down to the floor as if that might be a goal. That's irrelevant at this time. It's more the process of what begins to happen with your pelvis, your spine, through the rib cage, as you begin to tilt the legs down to the right, keeping your arms and your head on the floor and fairly quiet. So that means there's more movement happening through the pelvis and your spine. So that left shoulder blade, if possible, can stay fairly close and in contact with the floor. And ask yourself the question, does this movement feel like it generates more arching or more rotation? Or does it feel equivalent to you, that it's a combination of the two? Or maybe you have like a 70-30 percentage breakdown. Good. Bring the legs back up to the center, uncross them, and now cross the left knee over the right. And before you start, please change the interlacing of your fingers. That means move them all over by one. Keeping the hands quiet above your head and keeping your head on the floor, begin to now tilt the legs down over to the left. And again, I encourage you to go slowly, taking your time so you can feel and sense the movement of your pelvis and your spine, your ribs. Again, asking yourself the question, does it feel as if you do more rotation or more arching? And is there a different relationship between those two directional movements for you on this side? I noticed with myself when I was doing the lesson last night that it's a completely different organization for me on the two sides. I initiate rotation on the first, on one side first, and then the other side I actually do more, a little more side bending, lateral bending, and then extension, and there's almost no rotation at all. So see if you can observe that for yourself. It's quite fascinating how we organize ourselves differently for the same movement on different sides. Very nice. Okay. And pause and rest on your back. Lower your arms down by your side. This is another great lesson for you. I'm kind of organizing them around for you. Okay, bend your knees again. Bring your feet up to standing. Once again, bring your arms above your head in the same configuration with the fingers interlaced. Cross your right knee over your left. And this time you're going to sink your knees down to the right, but only to a place that it's comfortable. So again, they don't need to flop all the way over there. Just go where it's a place that you can pause and stay there. And once you're there, begin to lift your head and your arms as we did earlier. Again, it's just a small lift and lower back down. So you're lifting straight up. You're not side bending. You're not twisting your head over to the right. You're purely lifting the head and arms and really trying to lift them simultaneously together, the same moment, and lower back down. And feel what happens through your chest, your ribs, your pelvis. As you lift your head and arms, do you feel how it actually pulls the legs back up towards you? Should be a small sense. That's it, Linda. See that? And then each time you lower the head and the arms down, you may feel that the legs want to sink even a little bit more to the right. Somehow you become more elongated and extended. That's it. And let that go. Slowly bring your knees and legs back up to center and rest on your back. Please bend your knees again. Bring your feet to standing. Bring your arms above your head and interlace the hands in the non-habitual way. So change over the fingers by one. Cross your left knee over your right. That's it. And gently and slowly start to tilt the legs over to the left, coming to a place where it's very comfortable to just hang out there and pause. And once there, start to lift your head and your arms. Again, you're lifting straight up and lowering back down. Again, it's a much smaller movement than other lessons that we've done. And feeling what happens with your chest, your abdominal area. Can you feel as you lift your head and your arms, there's a natural response that the legs pull up closer towards you. And when you lower the head and the arms, the legs expand down and away from you. That's it, Danielle. To lift the head and the arms in this position really takes the abdominals kicking in. That's it. Good. Slowly bring your legs up, uncross them, lower your arms and rest on your back. And just take a moment to check in with your spine, the contact that you're making now with the floor. Is anything different now? You might feel as if you have a larger curve in the lower back, smaller curve or a longer curve, like a bigger arch up all the way into the area in between your shoulder blades. Bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing again, and once again, interlace your hands and bring them above you. Good. And now this time, you're going to place your right ankle onto your left knee. So it allows your right knee to open. And just do a few movements right now of kind of pulling the right knee in towards your stomach. Pulling's not the right word. It's more like a swinging movement or a that's it. So just allow the knee to come towards you and away from you, feeling the movement inside the hip joint. So you allow the right ankle to rest on the left knee, and you just bring the right knee in and then let it flare out. Is that a better word? Flare? Swing? Okay. That's it. And then allow your right knee to be in that position where it's hanging open as much as possible. That's it. And now in this position, begin to tilt the legs down over to the right. So you keep the right ankle on the left knee, and you're just thinking of the right knee bringing the legs, both legs. So that means that the left knee has to tilt also to the right. It means the left side of the pelvis starts to lift away from the floor. Again, we're not in a hurry to get over there. You just take your time moving in the direction of the right knee lowering itself down. And it's like literally like the weight of the right ankle on the left knee pulls the whole configuration over. Again, notice for yourself, does it feel like your ribs and your spine rotate? Or is there a sense of extension? Is it a combination of those directions? That's it. So some of you are able to take the right knee all the way down, which is great. And those of you that are not quite there yet, that's fine. But find a place where it's comfortable for you to be over there to the right. So again, it's really important that you hang out where it's comfortable and don't push yourself. And then once you're there, with your left foot, so identify your left foot, you're going to begin to make an arc with your left foot on the floor. So can you start to slide your left foot left and right along the floor? And it should move, so not in and out, but think left and right. So you're going to make an arc. So you're going to bring the left foot closer towards your left buttocks, out to the left hip. Think of the base of your clock, your pelvic clock that's down by your foot, right? So you start to swing. That's it. Okay. And let it go. Come up and rest for a sec. I have to define arcs. So everybody rest. Lower your arms and cross your legs. Okay, so let's try this. Everybody bend your knees, please. Bring your feet to standing. And probably I would suggest with your towel, if your towel, I would move it out from underneath your feet so it would be easier. There you go. Now, just with your left foot, and you can move the right foot to be out of the way as you're doing this, whatever that means. But begin to create an arc with your left foot. So the arc goes from the left side of your body to the right. So if you could do a really large arc with the left foot, you could eventually touch the fingertips of each of your hands, right? Does that make sense? The base of an arc? So if you lifted up the right leg towards the ceiling, it wouldn't be, the right foot's not in the way, and your left foot can come all the way. So move your right foot out of the way. There you go. Right? Just move the right foot out of the way, and guess what? The left foot can touch the right hand. It's amazing how that can. Yeah, whatever. Okay. There. Now, but make sure you take the left foot over to the right, the left hand too. And as much as possible, that's it, that you're making contact with the foot. Beautiful. Okay, has everybody got the feeling of, does this now in your mind, can you visualize, picture, feel, sense, you got it all? That you're now creating an arc. Yes? It's so great how you guys all have different ways to do it. It's neat. Okay, now bend your knees. Come back to the center. Place your arms above you, interlaced. Place that right ankle onto the left knee. Tilt the legs down to the right, hanging out somewhere where it's comfortable. And now this is a constraint, right? We've talked about constraints in the past. This is the configuration or position you need to stay in. That means your right ankle must stay on your left knee. That's a constraint. Your arms stay above you. But everything in between is negotiable to move so that you can create an arc with the left foot. So that means the pelvis, the spine, the back, right? Excellent, Linda. Very, very good. Nice job, you guys.
Can you fall
over? Yeah, terrific.
Can you make a noise?
Yeah. You can make noises. Plural. Good. Excellent. Okay. Good. 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 Okay. Now, come back and rest. Bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing, interlace your hands above your head once again. Place your right ankle again onto your left knee. Good. And now this time, just tilt the legs down over to the right, and let's first of all see if it's significantly easier to bring that right knee down. So for those of you that were close last time, maybe it's possible for the knee to come all the way down. And again, what does that produce or create in the lower back? A lot of extension now, yes? So now stay there with the right knee down. And now this time, instead of an arc, this is what some of you were doing in the beginning, is begin to pull or bring the left heel up towards your left buttocks without the right ankle falling down. So another way of thinking of it means that the left knee starts to approach the floor in front of you. So bring the opposite way. Bring the left foot towards the buttocks, which means that the left knee and thigh tilt down away from you, which means that the back arches even more. Your belly should be really protruding outward and forward. That's it, Bev. You get, yeah, just slide it up to your buttocks and then back up to standing. So really pull, see if the heel can even touch the buttocks, or just hallucinate about that idea. What you could even do for a moment is take your left hand and reach down to get the left foot, turn the toes under, that's it the other way, and you can pull the foot up to your buttocks. That's it, Laura. That's it, Danielle. But turn your foot the other way, Danielle. Think of the toes flipping under themselves so that the toes roll over the foot so that the toes are towards your buttocks. Roll over. Think over the toes. That's it. But your foot's not approaching your buttocks. Roll over. Yeah? Right? So if the left knee comes down towards the floor, it's like the runner in the runner's workshop, right? Remember that lesson, right? So, okay, you're tired. Rest. We'll come back to it. Your head and your arms stay exactly as quiet in the center as possible. And your shoulders. That's a higher level of constraint. I appreciate how brilliant you've all become. Your levels of thinking are marvelous. Okay, let's try it one more time. Bend your knees, place the right ankle onto the left knee, hands are interlaced above your head. You tilt the right knee in the configuration over to the right, and you hang out there. And then you slide that left foot up towards your buttocks, pulling the toes under. That's it, you did it great. That's it, Laura. There you go. And then think of, now once you're in that place, can you think of the left knee lowering itself down towards the floor? So that means the thigh pulls the belly forward and arches the lower back all the way up to the spine. You should feel the spine in between the shoulder blades pulling. Well, of course. Could you imagine why? But this is... That's it. That. You're doing beautiful. No. We don't want to rip anything. That's it. And just kind of rock back and forth. That's it, Danielle. Bring the knee up a little bit and then back down. Arch the back. And then when the knee comes up, Falk, lift the knee up a little bit and feel the abdominals. That's it. That's it. Okay. Everybody let it go and rest on your back. Bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing. And now we're going to go to the other side. So that means to place the left ankle onto the right knee. And when you interlace your hands above your head, please change over the fingers by one so that you're doing the non-habitual interlacing. And begin to tilt the legs over to the left as if that left knee is going to come to the floor. And just begin, since we've done so much to the other side, of just going down a little bit and coming back up. It's really important to go slow here in this moment of transition from one side to the other. That's it. Now the next time that you tilt the left knee down to the floor, keep it down there, right? The constraint is this configuration. And now I think you're all familiar with the arc idea. So it's the right foot that will slide along the floor to create an arc, as if, remember, if your hands were down along your sides, you would go from the right hand or the right fingertips to the left. But your arms indeed are above yourself. So you create, that's beautiful, an arc, sliding that right foot along the floor so it comes towards the right side of the hip and then over to the left. And pay attention to the arms in your head stay in the center. So that means your face remains orientated towards the ceiling. Oriented.
Try to keep your shoulder as much as you can.
Yeah. Good. Okay. And slowly let it go and take a pause and rest. Bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing, left ankle on your right knee, hands interlaced non-habitual way above you. Take the left knee over to the left, and then this time slide that right foot up towards your right buttock. So you turn the foot underneath, right? If you want to reach down, you can do that too. You need to keep the left foot, left ankle on the right knee. And then just begin to think of pushing or tilting that right thigh away from you, as if the right knee is going to come down to the floor. That's it, Laura. It creates a huge arch, very large extension, all the way up in between the shoulder blades. And because the arms are lifted above you, that facilitates the rib cage to lift, allows the extension all the way up to the neck. So just do little movements of you lift the knee again and then you lower it. So it's like you're stretching out the whole right thigh, the psoas muscle. Good. Okay. And let it rest, come back to the center. Bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing, your left ankle once again on your right knee. Hands are interlaced above you. Tilt the legs over to the left again so that left knee comes down. And bring the right foot up towards the buttocks. That's it. And now in this position, so you really feel the weight of your left ankle pulling your right knee down. And in this position, begin to lift your head and your arms and lower it back down. So lift the head and the arms and lower them back down. That's it. So you'll really feel how the legs pull up. That's it. Good. Now let the arms rest and just lift the head a couple times. Excellent, Linda. That's it, Bev. Good. And now letting the head and the arms stay up there, can you begin to let that right knee tilt down even more? See if it'll open even more. For most of you now, that knee can actually almost touch the floor. Very nice. Okay, come back and rest. It connects from the hip, the pelvis, up underneath the ribs. No. It's a very long muscle. Hip flexor is short, and it goes into the hip, and it connects to the back of the spine instead of underneath the ribs. Bend your knees one more time. Come up. There you go. And let's change the ankle. So we're going to go back to placing the right ankle on the left knee. Interlace your hands above you. That's it. Tilt the legs over to the right, bringing that right knee down to the floor. Then slide the left foot up towards your buttocks. If you need to reach down to turn the foot underneath to pull it up. And then let that left knee and thigh just pull down. And staying in that position, begin to lift your head and your arms. But not to the side. Think of lifting straight up. That's it, Bev. That's it, Danielle. That's it, Falk. Excellent. But when you're lifting, for some of you, this is a really challenging thing to do. There's a few of you here that there's no response in the legs. What that tells you is that your abdominal muscles are not naturally kicking in. So then you can intentionally tell yourself, well, they should kick in and the knees should lift at the same rate that the head and the arms lift. It's a small movement, not huge. That's it. We'll have to revisit that core connection again. Good. Now just leave the arms up there and lift the head just a couple times. And for some of you, that might be clearer in the legs. That might be a clearer connection. That's it. Okay. And let's rest on our back. Just take a moment to sense how you're doing and feeling. And you may feel the need at this point in the lesson, which I'm going to highly discourage you from doing, is to pull your knees into your chest and to go the other way because we're doing a lot of extension. But I'd like you to just hang out with it and see the effects that it gives you in standing and stuff. So refrain from doing that. There's other lessons, there's other times and lessons that we do it. But in this lesson, it's because you have the arms raised above you and the extension is occurring all the way up through the occiput, the whole spine, it's going to be very lovely when you come up. So, one more time, bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, place your right ankle on your left knee, and this time your right hand is going to go up underneath your head. And now tilt the legs over to the right, bringing that right knee down. Reach down with your left hand to get a hold of the left foot to pull it up underneath your buttocks so that that left knee and thigh really stretch open. You really feel this opening in your belly, in your back. If you can't hold on to the foot, that's okay too. That's it. And now using your right arm behind your head, gently lift your head and lower And again, when you lift the head, you should feel at the same moment that the knees slightly pull up in towards your abdominal area, right? So your core muscles throughout your rib cage, these abdominal muscles, are connecting in the lifting of the head and the legs. That's it. And when you lower the head, the legs lower and you open more. Good. Good. Okay. And let it be and rest. One more time, bend your knees, bring them up to standing, and this time place the left ankle on the right knee, which means that your left hand will be behind your head. You'll tilt your legs over to the left, and your right hand will reach down to get a hold of your right foot and pull it up underneath your buttocks. If you can hold on, great. If not, that's okay. Just think about that left knee, the right knee and right thigh tilting down and opening the belly, pushing the belly out, that pubic bone, the tendon opening up. And then using the left hand, go ahead and lift the head. And feel as you lift the head, the knees pull up. And as you lower the head, they release and the arch in your spine increases. That's it. Great. Okay. Come back to the center for a moment, keeping your knees standing. And one last time, interlace your hands and place them above your head. And just have your feet standing. And just a couple of times, go back through just the pelvic tilt of 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock. So your arms are above your head now, interlaced, not behind. And just do 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And just observe for yourself now how those shoulder blades are now resting on the floor with your arms above your head, if it's a different kind of contact. Bless you. And the pull, that's it, Danielle, and the pulling down as you go to 6 o'clock and the elongation of the arms with 12 o'clock. Great. Good. Okay. Lower your arms, straighten your legs, and rest for a moment on your back. And again, really check in and observe now how you sense your spine. For some of you, it may feel as if it's making more contact, and for others of you, it may feel like you have a very long, big arch all the way from your tailbone up to your cervical spine. And often we think the goal in here is to make our spine or to have our spine flat on the floor, but that's not the goal. The goal is to experience different relationships of movement and how things can respond differently in movement. Feel how your shoulder blades are resting on the floor and your arms, your legs. And then taking your time, go ahead and roll to one of your sides. Bring yourself up to sitting and then standing. And really take some time to observe in standing how different you now feel. And just notice how you define yourself now. Is it a sense of feeling taller, longer, your shoulder blades more behind you? How do you sense your feet underneath you? And then go ahead and walk around the room and notice how it feels in walking. Good. Okay, so everybody have a nice day and a nice week.